Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Everyday Black History. And since we're still in Hispanic Heritage Month, we're still honoring our brothers and sisters, Latinos and Latinas of African descent. You know, we're still honoring them, you know, for their contributions as well to, Black culture, Black history. And today we're honoring a man by the name of Vicente Guerrero. And Vicente Guerrero was one of the leading revolutionary generals of the Mexican War of Independence. He fought against Spain for independence in the early 19th century, and he even served as the second president of Mexico for a short while. He was known to champion the cause of Mexico's common people, and he even abolished slavery during his brief term as president. Now, a little background information on him. He was born in 1872, August 10th, 1872, and he was born in a small town, you know, outside the port of Acapulco, you know, miles outside the port of Acapulco. And his mom, Maria de Guadalupe Saldana, was of African descent, and his dad, Pedro Guerrero, was a mestizo, or of mixed race. Now, Vicente Guerrero was described as being tall and dark-skinned, robust, and he was referred to as the Negro, El Negro, at times. And the region where he grew up with, there was a lot of indigenous people, so he was surrounded by people of different backgrounds. Now, his father's family, they included landlords and rich farmers and traders with business connections throughout the South. So no doubt that afforded him, more culture, more education, or a better upbringing than probably your average person had in some of those small towns because of his father's familial connections. But even as a young man, he had that revolutionary spirit. And his father supported Spanish rule, but Vicente didn't. And so even as a young man, when the viceroy was coming to their home, the viceroy of New Spain was coming to their home, and his father asked him for his sword to present to him as a sign of goodwill, Vicente said no, he refused. And he said, "The will of my father for me is sacred, but my fatherland is first." So even at that young age, he had that revolutionary spirit. And in December of 1810, he joined the insurgent army. And he joined early on in the revolt against Spain. And even at that young age, in just a couple of years, he proved himself and distinguished himself in battle. That in just a couple of years, he attained the rank of lieutenant colonel. And he had held victories in many places throughout this battle. Several places throughout this battle, he maintained victory. And he was respected because he was one of the only major rebel leaders that was at large at the time that was able to keep the rebellion going through an extensive campaign of guerrilla warfare. So he was taking them out at night, he was taking out their supply, he was taking them out in different ways, like what guerrilla warfare is. And so even when his father wanted him to surrender, you know, he was like, nah, he refused. And he continued to fight and continued to be victorious and win many battles throughout the Mexico's war for independence. And he, even when the government sent people after him, he made those people his allies. They sent the man after him and he realized that, you know, fighting against him was only a military stalemate because that's how good he was in battle. And so he convinced them to become an ally, and they fought together against Spain for independence, and they were victorious. With the conservatives in Mexico and the Catholic Church backing them, they were able to fight for independence, and they were successful. And on September 27th, 1821, they were able to receive their independence from Spain. And they had a kind of like a constitution drafted, in which one of the clauses in the Constitution was very specific, and it said, "All inhabitants, without distinction of their European, African, or Indian origins, are citizens, with full freedom to pursue their livelihoods according to their merits and virtues." So that was the kind of, you know, government and that they wanted to set up you know, for when they achieved their independence. And Vicente Guerrero, you know, Afro mestizo, you know, African descent, black man, you know, he was able to be a part of making this happen. Now, and during the Mexican Empire in these early years, there were a lot of shifting that went on, and his ally, a man by the name of Agustin de Iturbide, well, he was his ally in a fight for independence, but now they made him emperor of Mexico, and he was made emperor by Congress. But now, all of a sudden, the man who was my ally now becomes my enemy because he's trying to block my career. And so now, Vicente Guerrero, along with others, begin to form rebellion again. Because now, whoever is put in place always becomes, you know, always lose sight of what's important as far as the independence. So, Vicente would always, you know, raise a rebellion in the south, in southern Mexico, to, you know, get his plan pushed through, because he was always about the common folk, the economically depressed or the racially oppressed. So he was able to raise up rebellion in the south, and even though he wasn't successful, he was defeated by the emperor's forces, but the emperor's imperial government collapsed in just 1 year, and Guerrero was named one of the Constituent Congress's ruling triumvirate. I hope I said that right. I was trying to, you know, get it right. But, you know, the 1828 presidential election years later, Guerrero was liberal, naturally, and he ran in this election. And he didn't really have too much support. He had some support, but not too much support. And when they ran in, you know, he ran in the election, and he came in second in the election. And the president-elect was a man by the name of Gomez Pedraza. He was a general. And he won the election in September of 1828. Now, instead of him, Vicente, taking second and lying down, he raised up support from some powerful men, some governors. So one of the governors by the name of Antonio Lopez de Santa Anna, he raised up support, you know, from guys like him, a man who had 800 loyal troops, you know, who was ready to do battle. And they went to Mexico City in November of 1828 and took over one of the cities, and forced the president-elect to resign, and he ran away in exile. So Vicente Guerrero took the presidency through mutiny. Now, there were some disorder that happened during the time, but it was quickly quelled once Vicente took office, and they were able to lock everything down and get peace and order back in some of those cities that they themselves took over. But you can imagine how big this was for, you know, people who were, you know, racially oppressed or economically oppressed, to see a man like Vicente Guerrero, who was a mixed race, you know, a black man, take the presidency. You know, this no doubt was, you know, something that was, you know, a big deal for them. And he had problems early on in his presidential election because of the fact that he took it through mutiny, and they forced the president-elect Gomez Pedraza to resign under pressure. There were some people who didn't take his presidency as a legitimate one. And there were some leaders that would have supported him, but they didn't want to publicly because of the fact that he took the presidency by force. And the national treasury was empty because they had already borrowed money from other people or nations. And then Spain continued to deny their independence and threatened reconquest. So they were constantly fighting with Spain, you know, to stay independent. You know, but, you know, he had, you know, good ideas that would have helped the, you know, the people, public schools, land title reforms, industry and trade development, you know, and other programs that would have helped, you know, the common people, the people that he championed. He even ordered an immediate abolition of slavery on September 16, 1829. And even though there were only a few black slaves in Mexico at the time, in the state of Texas, in the Mexican state of Texas, you know, at that time, Texas is part of Mexico. And, you know, there were, you know, white slaves, white Southerners coming, they were colonizing. And that that degree, no doubt, messed up their economic interests. So it did have a positive effect, even though in Mexico there weren't a lot of slaves. It did have a definite positive effect in Texas by those who weren't able to profit like they thought they was, because the president of Mexico was, you know, a black man, a man of mixed race, of African descent. So, you know, that was, even though in Mexico might have been considered symbolic, it definitely was effective in the state of Texas. But now, like things go, and during these times, there was always backstabbing and, you know, betrayals. And, you know, Vicente Guerrero was deposed in a rebellion by his vice president. Vice president backstabbed him in December 4th, 1829. And he left the capital to fight in the South. And he was always, you know, fighting for independence and raising rebellion in southern Mexico, because he had a lot of, you know, loyalists down there. And he was always, you know, raising hell. And he was always raising hell for independence. And, you know, there were, like mentioned before, people who were allies previously, who fought with him previously for one thing, would become an enemy, you know, years later. But he ultimately met his end through betrayal. An Italian merchant, ship captain, went to Mexico City to the conservative government, and he proposed to lure him on his ship and take him prisoner for the price of 50,000 pesos, which was considered a fortune at this time. A man by the name of Francisco Picaluga. And January 14th, 1831, he invited Vicente on his ship for a meal, and he took him and his aides captive, and then they turned them over to federal troops when they reached the port of Huatulco. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Huatulco. But they turned them over to federal troops, and then he was court-martialed. He was tried by a court-martial. But a month after he was tried, he was executed by a firing squad. And he was executed by a firing squad on February 14th, 1831. And his capture was welcomed by the conservatives and by state legislators. You know, there were people who fought for him. You know, there were people who fought to prevent his execution. He did have a lot of people who were loyalist to, who were loyal to him, and even legislative people who were loyal to him. But and even, you know, the fact that this man was paid 50,000 pesos to hand him over, that was all exposed as well. But, you know, despite all that, he was still executed by firing squad on February 14th, 1831. And, you know, when he died, it marked the dissolution of the rebellion in southern Mexico. But those people who were involved in his execution, you know, paid a lasting price with their reputations. There was never any peace for those generals for the rest of their lives, for the rest of their careers. And once it came to light about this arrangement between them and Francisco Picaluga, ultimately, yeah, these men had no career, nothing left after the death of Vicente Guerrero. And there was a lot of speculation as to why he wasn't exiled. You know, everybody else who turned on the government, the Spanish or Mexican government rather, was exiled. Antonio Lopez de Santa Anna was exiled. The presidential elect Gomez Pedraza was exiled. There were many others who were exiled, but Vicente Guerrero was killed by a firing squad. And many believe that that was, and actually it was a man who was a political ally to Vicente Guerrero, who said many years later that Guerrero, being of mixed blood, and there was a lot of opposition to his presidency, and it came from great landowners, generals, clerics, and Spaniards that were resident in Mexico. And his execution was perhaps a warning to men considered as socially and ethnically inferior not to dare to dream of becoming president. So basically, his death by execution was a warning not to aspire to become president, not to aspire to become anything great, because if you do, this is what will happen. You know, and that's a sad thing, you know, it really is, because even it's just a sad thing. I'm not even going to get into all that. But, you know, honors were conferred on his family. You know, a pension was paid to his widow. He was able to be returned, you know, to his home city to be buried. And he is known for his political discourse of promoting equal civil rights for all Mexican citizens, and has been described as the greatest man of color to ever live. There's schools named after him. There's even a state named after him in Mexico, Guerrero. And he's a Mexican national hero. And, you know, his legacy lives on, you know, and to this very day, a legacy of independence and unity and everyone being treated equal. So, Vicente Guerrero, we thank you for your contribution to Black history, Black culture, and we salute you. Now, that concludes this episode of Everyday Black History. I hope you enjoy this episode as we continue during Spanish Heritage Month and honor our brothers and sisters of Afro-Latino descent. And we'll have more coming at you, you know, more men and women and even institutions, you know, by Afro-Latinos that, you know, contribute much to the culture, to the African diaspora that we are all a part of. So stay tuned for the next episode.